Take your Bibles tonight and turn with us to a very familiar passage of Scripture. We're looking at Matthew chapter 16, verse number 18. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Our subject tonight, the life of a church. The life of a church. What is the life of a church? The life of a church. Jesus says in Matthew 16, 18, "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter." You're just a little pebble, just a small stone. "And upon this rock, mighty Petra, a mighty boulder, I will build my church." Jesus said He would build His church. "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." A couple of years ago, I got to stand by the little stream that overlooks the gates of hell, the place that Jesus was talking about. There was a great cavern there and a bottomless pit, a hole that went down further than any of the people in Jesus' day knew where it went. Earthquakes have since filled it in, but the big opening is still there. And He looked at that mighty stone and said, "Upon this rock," speaking of Himself, "a mighty, strong boulder, I will build my church." Now, the word church is ecclesia. And it always means that which is able to assemble. Never means anything else. Cannot mean anything else. Will not mean anything else. And when we talk of the home, we're talking about a single dwelling. Amen. We're talking about folk living in a home. The home's in trouble today. Y'all agree? The home's in trouble. But is it one big home and everybody lives in it? The school. The school needs more funds. What kind of school? Well, you say, our school down here. Well, we use that institutionally, don't we?
Right. Amen.
And so the church, why in the world do we say the church is a big, universal, invisible church? Doesn't make sense, does it?
Amen.
Church is local, invisible. And Jesus said, "Upon this rock, upon myself, I will build my church." I'll birth it. I'll build it. It's mine. Henry Ford, I've been to the place where he made that first Ford car, there at Greenfield Village or whatever it's called. And they've got, you can see where the bricks are kind of discolored there. You know why? He built it, but the door was too small to get it out. He had to tear out the wall to get the car out. Like people building a boat in their basement. That won't float. That's for sure. But Henry Ford said, "Upon this assembly line, I'll build my Ford." Does everybody ride around in a big universal car?
No.
I hope not. We don't. He was talking about his kind of car. Amen. And what Jesus said here, "I'll build my kind of church." So His church is different.
Amen.
The founder of the church is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not Mary Baker, Glover, Edison, whatever, Eddie Powers, whatever she is. Baker. I can't even remember her last name now. She had so many names. In between there, Joseph Smith's not the founder of the church. Mr. Breeze is not the founder of the church. Calvin's not the founder of the church. Knox is not the founder of the church. Constantine's not the founder of the church.
Amen.
Jesus is the founder of the church.
Amen.
So He said, "Upon this rock I'll build my kind of church."
Amen.
Now, the church that Jesus built during His earthly ministry is a living, breathing organism. It is alive. It is living. A lot of folks want an organization, and you can do a lot of things with an organization. But I want to be a part of an organism.
Amen.
That which is living. And the local visible church is called the body of Christ because it is alive and because it has functioning members. has functioning members. In 1 Corinthians 12, and beginning at verse 14, the Bible says this, "For the body is not one member, but many." I tell our folks at Elliott, I said, we don't have any church daddies at Elliott Church, and we don't have any bell cows. Y'all know what a bell cow is? Bell cow's got the bell, and all the other cows follow. No, the Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the church.
Amen.
It's not a man's institution.
Right.
And man's not to run it.
Amen.
And woo man, not to run it either. Amen. Verse 15, "If the foot shall say, behold, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body or the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased Him." And if they were all one member, all eyes, then where were the body? See, it takes parts to make up a body. And the local visible church is made up of members. I'm a member of the Olmsted Baptist Church. Well, that's what this is talking about. What is it that is essential to the life of the church? Now, the Bible tells us that a church can say that it's alive and be dead. The Bible says that can happen. Over in the Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1, the Bible says specifically that. "And to the angel, and unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God." Seven's the number of what?
Perfection.
That's right. Completeness, perfection. "And the seven stars. I know thy works." Now, it starts out, "and unto the angel of the church in Sardis." Now, that's the word angelos, which means a messenger. Do you know that this man is an angel?
Amen.
He doesn't act like it all the time, but he is. No, he's a good man. I couldn't say that if he wasn't. I know him. Known him a long time. But he's the messenger. He is the angelos. He's a man who brings a message from God. And down in here it says, "I know thy works, Sardis, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead." Wouldn't that be a sad thing to have a name that you're alive and yet you're dead?
Amen. Amen.
Dead. My wife, Wow, I'm back on. Run that back. Now, before I left home, my wife said, "Go out there and pick those tomatoes." She didn't say tomatoes. She said, "Go out there and pick those tomatoes because we may get a freeze before you come home, get a heavy frost." Now, if I'd have left them out there, and if there's a freeze while I'm gone, there'll still be tomatoes out there, but they could be dead tomatoes, couldn't they? And there are churches that think they're alive because they're hanging around.
Right.
Huh?
Lord help.
Amen.
Hanging around, but there's no life. They're dead. Now, the life of a church, is it a building?
No.
No. Is it a program?
Nope.
No. I remember down in Alabama years ago, they had a business meeting and the pastor said that, "I want us to think about having a radio program." And one of the old deacons got up and said, "We ain't ever had a program in this church. We ain't going to have no program." The pastor sat down and got back up and said, "I would like to suggest we have a radio broadcast," and it passed 100%. long as they didn't have any programs in that church, he was all right. But it's not a building. That's not the life of a church. Programs are not the life of a church. But the Word of God tells us that a living church is a church with the right message and the right mission. Has to have the right message and the right mission. Now, the life of the church is in its confession. It's in its confession. Every church ought to know what they believe. I remember years ago when I was pastoring in Arkansas, a little lady came up to me and she said, "Brother Fayard, you ought to come over to our church, the Country Chapel. We ain't got no doctrine and no nothing." And I thought, you're right about that. They were so happy that they didn't have any doctrine or no nothing. I tell you what, you've got to have doctrine. You need to know what your confession is. And what is that confession? What is that confession of a living church? I believe that a true church confesses the Word of God, confesses the doctrines of grace. The living church preaches the gospel.
Amen.
Now here's where I'm getting to watermelon and ice cream. What is the gospel? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 3 and 4. The Bible tells us plainly what the gospel is. Now in verse 1 of chapter 15, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you." And you get down to verse number 3, "And I declare unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scripture." You know what the gospel is? How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture.
Amen.
That He was buried, and how that He rose again the third day according to Scripture. If you don't have that, you do not have a message.
Amen. Amen.
A lot of folks, and I hear this all the time, they leave Christ hanging on the cross. They never get Him in the tomb, nor do they get Him out of the tomb. You talk about a full gospel church. That's a church that preaches Christ crucified, buried, and risen.
Amen.
There's some of these mega churches that don't preach Christ at all.
Right.
I mean, it's all tickling of the ears.
Right.
"No, I know how that I would be able to speak as they speak. I could tell you tonight how to refurbish your financial situation. I could tell you much about how that we can invest your funds by sending them to me."
I want my cut.
You want your cut? That's right, you go. Anyway, you know, but listen, the gospel is not in flattering words. It's the preaching of this book. It's the preaching of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall be called Emmanuel." What does that mean? God with us. Jesus Christ. "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth."
Amen.
That's what we preach. We preach a sinless Savior. One of my favorite verses is 1 Corinthians 5:21. "For He," that's God, "has made Him," that's Jesus, "to be sin for us." He never became a sinner. He became sin for us. He took our sin. He bare our sin in His own body. He became sin for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us. He's sinless.
Amen.
"That we might be made the righteousness of God." Amen.
Amen.
Through Him. Boy, that's a great message.
Amen.
That's what we preach. We preach a bodily resurrection as well in Romans 1 and verse 4 where it says, of Jesus declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. He's the Son of God. The tomb's empty. He's not there. We preach salvation by grace through faith. I don't believe you ought to add to it or take away.
Amen.
I'm saved by grace.
Amen.
Saved by grace. All of grace. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all my sin. That's grace, isn't it? I was raised in the organized church of the Latter-day Saints of the Latter Days. That's Josephite Mormons. Independence, Missouri Mormons. There's two groups of Mormons. And all of my mama's side of the family are in that. I'm going to meet with some of my Mormon cousins in a couple of weeks when I fly to Atlanta. Well, I'll be going to Atlanta and flying to Jamaica to do mission work. And I'm looking forward to seeing them once again. And two of those cousins, their daddy was an elder in the local church there. And after I came to Christ, which was a miracle, but let me tell you, when you came to Christ, a miracle too.
Amen.
When I came to Christ, I went to my Uncle George Goff. He was sitting under some trees in his yard in those chairs that looked like a shell on the back, you know, that metal chair. And he was sitting out there. And I walked into the yard and I sat down beside him. I said, Uncle George, I want to talk to you. And he said, I heard that you supposedly got saved. I said, well, I only have one question. He said, what's that? I said, answer this. What does Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 mean? For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God.
Amen.
Not of work. Lest any man should boast. He got up out of that chair without saying a word. He walked into the back of the yard, into the back door of the house. He never came back out to answer that question. He died in his sins. I went to his funeral. And they preached about what a great man he was and how good he was and all the good that he did. And they never preached Jesus as the Savior. We believe in a regenerate church membership.
Amen.
We don't believe in unregenerates in the church. Get a few once in a while. We don't believe that's the way it ought to be done. The Bible says, and they that gladly received His Word were baptized. I love what it says over in Acts chapter 8. I think about verse 37. The eunuch said, Philip, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Some people say, well, you just need to sprinkle. Do you believe that eunuch would be taking that trip from Jerusalem to Ethiopia with no water in the chariot? He had water in there. But he said, see, here's water. Here's enough water.
Amen.
Amen. See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is Son of God.
Amen.
Now, if you have a New International Version, that last part is completely wiped out.
That's right. It's not there.
It's not there. It's gone. And friends, that's what I confess, is that if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then you are a candidate for baptism. How about it?
Amen.
Amen. So we believe that we must have a right confession. We must confess the right thing. And then we've got to have a commission. Where do we find the commission? Well, we run back over here to Matthew, or as they used to say in the country churches, the book of Matthew. And that's all right. Matthew chapter 28 and verses 19 and 20. The commission. And this commission was given before the day of Pentecost. Isn't that something? Dr. Schofield has done us a great disservice in that area.
Amen.
Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. All nations?
Every one.
Every one of them. Man, I don't believe in Parkerism. That's anti-mission work. I believe we ought to do mission work.
Yes.
Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. The church is to be missionary. And if it's not missionary at home and abroad, it will become stuck. And it will become stagnant.
Amen.
You ever go by old swampy land and they got this green stuff just all up over that? You know what causes that? Stagnation. You want to reach down there and put your mug in there? Huh?
No,
you don't want to drink that. Well, maybe that's why some churches, nobody wants to get a drink.
Right. That's right.
They don't want what you've got.
Amen.
If it's stagnant.
Right. Right.
We're to be missionary Baptists, not stationary Baptists.
Right. Amen.
Amen. So we're to have the commission. We must not be merely functioning as an organization. We must be thriving as an organism. Living. Living. And missions are to be the heartbeat of the church. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every elect.
Missed it.
Did I miss it? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every what? Creature.
Amen.
Hey, who does the saving anyway?
That's right.
Man, look. I just go preach. I'm excited about preaching. I like preaching.
Amen.
I'll preach at the drop of a hat. I'll drop my own hat. I mean, we need to be serious about the commission. Going out. And then the congregation is important, of course. The church is a body. That's a congregation of baptized believers coming in together to fulfill the Great Commission, to carry out the Great Commission. I'm not ashamed of being a Baptist.
Amen.
I'm a Baptist with a big B.
Amen.
Not a little B,
right. But
a big B. Now, all over the country, there are churches taking Baptist off their name. I've thought about sending fruit baskets to some of them that done it.
Because
they need to take it off.
Right.
Amen? But I'm a Baptist by conviction. I wasn't Baptist born. I wasn't Baptist bred, but when I die, I will be Baptist dead. Amen? A living church is a church that takes the gifts and callings of God seriously. The church is to allow the congregational member who's in good standing to practice their gifts and use their talents in a decent and thoughtful way. Do all things decently and in order. But if we go over to Romans in chapter 12, we find out in Romans 12 that God has put in the body, in the local visible church, different gifts. Different gifts. Now, my gift is the gift of prophecy, which is to foretell. That's primary, meaning it doesn't mean I'm Jack Van Impe and give all kind of wrong dates over the last 30 years. You know, I enjoy listening sometime, but 88 Reasons Why Jesus Christ is Coming in 1988. I had a book named that. I used to start fires with last winter. Notice this. Having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us. All of us have different gifts. Amen? Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to foretell. I'm going to give you the message. Our ministry, let us wait on ministering. There are those who have the gift of ministry. They minister to folks. Somebody gets sick, they bring them a jar of soup. I almost get sick just to get a jar of soup. I like that stuff. A friend of mine years ago, when NyQuil first came out, back then it was a little stouter than it is now, he got sick in a meeting over in Alabama, and the preacher said, look, just take one of them little top things, you know, take that top off, fill it up, and drink that, and it'll help you sleep. Well, he said, if one of them will help, three will sure help. And he told me, he said, before it was over, I was glad I had a cold. Now, I didn't do that. He did. But there are those who minister. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That's in church. You say, I wonder why she doesn't do that. We go do this all the time, and we're the ones that go. Maybe she doesn't have that gift. You got it? We're not all the same. Or he that teacheth on teaching. I thank God that they're teachers. God gives gift. He that exhorteth on exhortation. There are those who have the gift of exhortation. You know who they are? They're the ones that go around and say, I ain't seen you at the church in about 3 weeks. What's wrong with you? You better get right with God. They exhort people. And sometimes the exhorters are pretty tough, aren't they? They really are. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. I've found through the years that givers don't stand up and say, look and see. I'm getting ready to put $5 in the plate. Do it with simplicity. Amen. If you're a real giver, you'll do it and you won't care whether you get the praise for it or not.
Amen.
He that ruleth with diligence. You know what that is? That's an administrator. You got administrators. People who can do, I've got administrators in the church. Man, you can give them a project and they figure it out. And I let them figure. If it gets me out of some work, I'll let them figure real good. You know what, though? The preacher's supposed to be doing what? Supposed to study that book. Supposed to pray. Amen? So you have people who can take care of things. Let them take care of it. I let folks do. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. This happened to me some years ago preaching, and man, I had one of those sermons that it wasn't a job security sermon, I'll tell you. It's tough. And I was standing at the back door, and one of our ladies buzzed by me. And there was a visitor that morning, and she ran out to that visitor and grabbed her and said, oh, honey, please come back. He's not always this mean. She was showing some mercy. So, a church is a living body. Are you getting the picture?
Amen. Amen.
It is. It's a congregation. And the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Exhort one another.
Amen.
Provoke one another.
Yes.
Keep going for God.
Amen.
You'll be equipped here, the Bible says. And then, a living church is a committed church. It's committed. A living church is a church that's committed to its God-given mission. It's a church that is a flame for God. It's on fire. Burning for Christ. It's not like the church at Laodicea where the Scripture says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. God's sick of that which is not hot.
Amen.
Lukewarm. You ever sit your... I drink hot tea. Maybe you drink coffee. I love coffee. You don't like me. Sit down your cup of hot drink and go about doing things. I'll get to studying. And I forget how long it's been sitting there, and I'll pick it up and go, good night. You know what's happened to it? It got cool. It wasn't cold. It wasn't hot. What was it? Lukewarm. And I have actually... I know what it is to spew out. We're to be on fire for God. We need to be. But the church of today is not what it should be because the things of this world have captured the hearts of the people. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. We're not to love this world. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasure my treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And I believe that one day He's coming for me.
Amen.
Committed. Committed to the protection and the proclamation of the truth. The church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. Amen?
Amen.
Well, if our church didn't preach all those things, maybe we'd grow. No, you preach the truth.
Amen.
You stick with the truth.
Amen.
You don't get away from the truth.
Amen.
And the church, a living church, is a compassionate church. Now, here's one of the things that we really, really have to be careful with. We can get so straight and so right that we lose our heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
We lose our compassion. The Bible says Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. He had compassion on us. And we're to be compassionate toward the world. Our cities are ravaged by sin and degradation. You say, well, we ought to just be compassionate and reaching out to those that God will save. Well, what did Jesus do over Jerusalem?
That's right.
Did He weep over Jerusalem?
Amen, He did.
He wept over Jerusalem. He said that He wanted to take them like a little... like a hen would take her little chicks, put them under the wing. He cared about them. I believe in common grace. I believe God has a common grace for folks, and He wants us to be compassionate to others. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. There are those who are headed into the fire. And the Bible says in Jude, and of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire.
Amen.
Give them the gospel. Tell them the truth. Let me ask you, Olmstead Baptist Church, you want to be a living organism or a dead organization? I know what you want. You want to be a living organism for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, for a living organism to continue to thrive, it has to breathe.
Right.
It has to breathe. You know what the breath of this church is? Prayer. That's how you breathe. If you don't pray, you're not breathing. If you don't breathe, what's going to happen? You're going to die.
Yeah. Amen.
Prayer is important. What is the least attended service of a local Baptist church? Come on. Prayer meeting. It's the least attended. Most important, least attended. Living organisms have to be fed. How are you going to feed? From the Word of God. Eat of the Word of God. Living organisms must eliminate waste. And if we don't eliminate that which is not good, you know what it'll do? It'll poison the body. It's true. But the Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to do what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He'll clear that out. Amen? Important point. And then living organisms produce. They reproduce. I mean, there's others born. Amen? You're here Because somebody reproduced.
Amen.
Amen. And the church has to reproduce. We need to be praying that God would give us souls for our labors.
Amen.
What kind of church do you want to be? Living or dead? Used to have posters, wanted, dead or alive. Some people want a church, dead or alive, doesn't matter to them. I want one that's alive, amen?
Amen.
That's what I want. I know that's what you want. Remember that confession, Christ, who died for our sins, was buried, who rose again. Let's be living, amen?
Amen.
Alive for the Lord, working for